This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's a beautiful morning, and maybe it's not morning where you are, and that's okay, because it's morning here at the podcast. This is our first ever morning sesh at the Trim Healthy podcast. It was so morning that I thought I was going to be tragically late. I didn't know what I was going to do for breakfast, didn't know what I was going to wear. And it was really feather ruffling in a way that I didn't expect. Good morning, girls.
Did you have worn your wife's robe like you have before in the afternoon?
I almost showed up in my PJs, but what that means practically would have been upsetting.
Skittings.
And you would you have ridden your would you have ridden your motorbike in your PJs? That's the question.
You know
you should
I will.
Have.
Guess what was coming into my mind? You see, a man in PJs. My man doesn't wear PJs, right?
No, my man doesn't.
So
not.
What's coming into my mind is only what my father kind of wore to bed, and that's a white singlet with white whitey tighties.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining Danny in a white singlet, and whitey tighties on his brum brum.
What's a singlet?
Okay, singlet is a white what you call a wife beater shirt. Do they have that name still?
Yeah, wife beater.
Okay,
it's the best name for it.
I do, but it's ribbed and woolen from merino wool in my mind.
Oh,
that's what they wear from our country.
This is like an ancient cloth.
So you're wearing your little merino wool skivvy or singlet.
Yeah.
And then you got your whitey tighties and you're on your motorbike, and that's the image.
I'm going to make that image
with
happen.
Your goggles, with your motorcycle.
No, I'm going to create this as a photograph, and it will be online.
Yes, you will.
Hey, also, as I was coming up the hill, what do I spot but a wild Vange?
And oh, was Vange powering up that hill?
Powering up that hill and on the phone and just really giving it to somebody. You know how it is. You can see it like in her silhouette when you're like a mile away that she's just
For new peeps in the room, Vange is our wild sister. Yeah.
So I'm coming up the hill and I'm like, Vange, get in this truck. I'm like trying to like scoop her up and give her a ride up the hill.
Yeah.
And she's like, not on your life, mate. I would not miss the glorious walk up the mountainside. And I was like, I'm like pulling off by then, by the time she's finishing.
But you know what? You could be going at like 9 o'clock at night and still see her walking up
there. She's always on the hill. I've never gone down the hill without seeing Vange. It's actually a play track that God did.
Yes.
Like if you go
it's a
up
loop.
Yeah, it's her Groundhog Day she does not want to get out of.
And she has this necklace on made of, looks like goat fur or something.
Yeah.
And on the end of it is a knife, a huge hunting knife.
Yeah, she carries.
Oh,
just
she's
in
packing.
Case you meet a meth head or two on the way.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, we have lovely land. You know, we have lovely, lovely countryside. And you'd think it was just all sheep and but you never know. You might
meet
a drug
on the hilltop,
the
there's a mixture of us.
Vange looks like she could not only skin a calf, but she could also like jujitsu submit.
You know a true story about her in Uganda?
Yeah.
She was chased by a psychopath, a man, and something went off in her head, something like a psycho.
It wasn't one man, Serena, it was two.
Okay, and a psychopathic cellular change happened to her brain, and she just went wild and ended up turned around and roared and started chasing them like a wild freak out.
And they literally ran for their lives.
Well, how believable would it be? I mean, to see someone like Vange roaring at you, you're like, oh, we got a feral human. Let's get out of here.
So think you're a woman, you'll always chase, but she just
this
real,
this party is actually for us right now because a lot of people don't know who the heck we're talking about.
Oh, we can calm down.
It's our sister Vange.
We can calm down.
And she's, she's been on the party before. She's 6 feet. She's got
And she's 50
red
what?
Hair
57 or whatever?
57, but she's a sprite. She'll always be, what, 12?
Yeah, she goes to church and starts headbanging in the back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, we have a question today that I thought we might get to. Denny, do you have it? Because I think it's a goodie. As I saw it come in, I thought we should take that one.
Yeah, let me give it to him.
Yeah. Who's it by? Who's it from?
This is from Heather.
Okay.
And she says, I would love to know how to fuel more intuitively. How can I tell my body is needing more fats, carbs, XOs?
Crossovers. If you'd read the book. But,
somebody needs to. More rest, etc. She's trying to, sounds like not just fuel more intuitively, but sort of like understand what her body is saying.
May I? Because you got something to say. I'm bursting, Serene. You're bursting too.
Oh, I'm so bursting about the word intuitive. Are you going there or are you going straight to intelligence?
No, I am saying we are going to develop this whole potty.
I just love the name
little.
Heather. I don't know. Can we end the podcast now?
But
whenever can I rant on intuitive and then you can rant on something else? I can do that second.
Yeah, do it second because I just want to start with my answer to Heather's question would have been different even 3 to 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I want to say. I've got new things to say how to intuitively fuel your body, Heather. And I'm going to let Serene rant and then we'll start picking this question.
Well, my rant is not even the actual answer to this question. We're going to actually answer this question, like Pearl says, slowly develop it through the potty. But I do want to say the word intuitive is dangerous. I think it is a word that we can't trust because I know I've had an eating disorder before. And even when I haven't had an eating disorder,
I'm going to hold you here because I'm not sure I agree with so far where you're going, but keep going because we're allowed to disagree.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say is in the past, I've suffered with anorexia I was young, when I was super young. And I know people now who suffer with anorexia and if you told them to eat intuitively, their intuition is messed up. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we don't have the right intuitions anymore. And even me, who's not in an eating disorder anymore, sometimes I'll find myself in a new season. A new season. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I become pregnant or if I'm nursing or whatever. It's hard for me as a more control freak personality to move into that, to even listen to the intuition because I like to keep into the boundaries I've been in and I don't know how to spread them when I need to.
Right.
So to me, somebody says, Serene, eat intuitively. In my past, that would be dangerous. And even now, I don't know how to understand it. I almost need, like Pearl has come to me and said, Serene, this is how you're going to eat right now.
For
because
your season.
You are not moving on.
Yeah, I remember when you were pregnant, Pearl was like, I'm going to need you to have more, what was it, crossovers?
Yes, Dan.
She's like, you will eat only crossovers.
Yeah, I agree with her. Serene, there's so much of that I agree about and with. But I think, and we'll get into that, but I think what Heather's saying is maybe she's at a place where she just wants to go a little bit deeper now and she's kind of had the plan and now she wants to use it and gel with her particular body, with what she's doing, with how much should I rest, you know, and all those things.
Can I just interrupt one more time and then I want your intelligence to spring forth because I'm just like blurting out a bunch of brain fluff. But so she may have been on the plan for a while, you see, so she might be in more of a understanding. But you know, this intuitive eating is trendy. It's a trendy word. I've heard about it a lot on the internet. And I just want to say, you know, it's dangerous too for everybody. Oh, you know, they get on the Google, intuitive eating. And maybe they haven't had a lot of grounding in healthy eating. Intuitive eating to them could be like, oh, look, my body just really needs fries.
And that's what I want to get to.
You mean you're hoping to not, you're hoping she doesn't mean by intuitively like whatever you feel like.
Yeah, but I don't think Heather does. But you see, what you're trying to say is there is a cynicist side to this whole intuitive eating. Like sometimes I intuitively want and feel like I need potato chips.
Oh, who doesn't?
Intuitively.
Oh, yeah. Deep intuition.
But it's wrong. It's just wrong. Not every thought, feeling, and desire
we have. Do you intuitively want to yell sometimes and get sensitive?
I intuitively really
want. And sigh and huff about the kitchen?
I intuitively want to give my husband the silent treatment sometimes. I mean, is that good for me? So I think, there's this intuitive eating can be harmful in two ways.
Can we change the word for the potty and have a new word that makes connects better to this?
Well, you start thinking of that as I talk about the two ways, which you've already covered.
I don't think she means it like feeling
she
at all.
She doesn't. We're going to the side of the current trendy side that's
you're just crossing the bridge.
Current, we're crossing this out that I don't think Heather's talking about intuitive eating, the trendy type. Where, I mean, you can
and
look
also
it up.
The type that you cannot connect with because you're not that kind of mind. You don't know how to.
No, I was going to do that in my two things.
Good, you go.
The
for
harmful
it.
Side of that is if you're a controlled sort of person, you really don't have the intuition because you'll just stay in that. You don't have the intuition to have crosses overs if needed. To rest if needed. No, you're up at 5 a.m. doing your exercise, whether you should or not.
You're crossing off your plan.
You don't even think about life that way.
That's just kind of, doesn't mean you have to stay in that. You can learn and grow is what Heather's saying.
Exactly.
But the other side of the intuitive eating is harmful. for many people, because you cannot intuitively eat when your hormones are intuitively telling you something else. Let's just say your leptin, which is your full signal that you have in your body, let's just say it's tanked from years of over-dieting or from years of standard eating.
A leptin is also the hormone that measures the energy you have in your body.
Yeah.
And so...
So intuitive eating, if you look it up on the Google, it says, you know, you eat when you're hungry, you learn to eat when you're hungry, and you learn to listen to your full signals. There's an element of wisdom to that, but honestly, for too many people, their leptin signals are what not working properly. Mm-hmm. So if you intuitively eat, it's not going to be very wise.
And I want to interrupt too. Your son, Rocky, intuitively ate his whole entire life, and he just wasn't a very hungry person. And he was a lovely, beautiful shape. I liked to.
He was a very lean.
As an Aunt Biddy, I thought, ooh, he's coming up good in the world. Yeah, look at his biceps. They're all shredded.
He was wiry.
He was wiry. But he intuitively ate and he didn't eat very much. He ate like a bird girl teenager, right? Yeah. But he got married and his wife told him what to darn well eat.
She did.
And now he looks like the Hulk. No fat on his body.
Rocky?
I haven't seen him in a while. He's just bulked up.
Oh my goodness. I need to show you a picture.
And so for me too.
He looks like Chris Hemsworth. I mean, he's that big.
Pearl, you have to tell me my portions too, because my intuition, I'm full after two bites.
I know.
I have a lot of GLP-1 naturally in my body or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like it helps satiate you, but I don't know. I have two bites and I'm full and I have to move past that to get a proper meal.
Well, let's talk about the peptide GLP-1, which is a peptide we all have in our bodies. Actually, now it goes under the name Ozempic, things like that. It's helpful. They use it as a medication for type 2 diabetes and for obesity. But you see, we all have amounts of this in our body, but some people are born with less of it. And it's not just leptin, it's our own levels of GLP-1 where we don't have the proper full signals that others have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like intuitive eating, the trendy style we're talking about here, can be a trap for many people.
Mm-hmm. I'm just darn well doing what you're telling me to do now, Pearl.
Yeah,
my breakfasts are twice as big as they used to because you got in my face.
Well, and that's what we need to decide. So here's what I think, Heather. I think gaining wisdom, having guidelines, and then, and being intuitive, maybe learning as our hormones get more balanced, we can start to feel hunger and full signals better, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the intuitive eating is a trap just for another reason, and that's for the fact that we could say, hey, I used to say, and this, you know, how I started this potty by saying 3 or 4 years ago, I would have answered this question differently, even in our books. And Serena and I don't feel like this is us changing tune. I feel like this is just us growing when we bring new information. Like, I don't think what you write in a book is what it should stand forever. I think it's what you know so far.
Well, it's precept upon precept. Yeah. It's like the next rung in
so
the ladder.
We always said, Serene, so once you've, you know, understood your S and E, you can really learn to change them up as needed. What do you feel like today? We'd always say, do you feel like comfort? You know, maybe you're having some cravings. Maybe you need more S meals, you know, and they'll really satisfy you. Or, hey, are you low in energy today? Maybe you need more E meals. And, you know, I did that for several years. I have to say, though, that I don't really do that anymore. I do maybe to a certain extent. But I've realized my body always needs carbs. I don't have a day without a carb meal, at least one, probably two.
Can I bring you into a new area of light bulb moment that I just came into?
Yeah.
I think intuition can be a good word when it comes after knowledge.
Yes.
See, I haven't changed my diet over the years because of an instinct. I've changed my diet over the years because of knowledge.
Yep.
And then I get the instinct. Like after a workout, I don't want to look at a half a teaspoon of food or half a teaspoon of water. But I've learned, you're not doing this for food. You're doing it for medicine. You chug that whey smoothie or amino acid, you know, bolus of 2,000 mg of lutein, whatever. Like it's like you're doing this because of knowledge.
Yes.
And like you've changed to more carbs, Not because, oh, I've decided in this season of my life, I feel more like I need energy. No, you learnt that this is what's going to speed up your metabolism.
Yeah. It didn't really matter what I felt. I did it from knowledge because I discovered that our bodies, especially as we go into new seasons, but no matter what season we're in, carbs is our preferred source. Good carbs, gentle carbs. You know, I'm not talking about devitalized carbs. And so I shall be giving that to my body because there's no refuting what it does to my adrenals, to my thyroid. Our bodies require them. Now, S meals are still on my plate. I have one every single night. But my day, I've discovered from knowledge, for me, is for carbs. And I have E meals or crossovers. And at first it was like, I'm doing this because, oh my goodness, I've discovered this is what science tells me. This is what the latest, you know, everything tells me from all my study. And then I felt the results.
Right.
But so it
now you can
intuitive.
Be intuitive with it.
Yeah, now I can.
And so now it's intuitive for you. You would never wake up. You might wake up and have an omelet Sunday morning.
Yeah, I might.
But you're
Saturday.
Not going to wake up and have an omelet 2 hours before you lift weights.
No, because where's your fuel?
Where's your energy?
Where is it?
Oh, speaking of, you'd sort of take carb energy for granted. At least yeah. I do, because it's sort of harder to have no carbs, I think, in our society than it, you know what I mean? Like there's carbs in everything almost if you're, depends on which, how you're cooking, I guess. But the point is the other day we had eggs and something for breakfast. Like there was no toast. There was no, yeah. there was no carbs. It was a, yeah. it was a protein breakfast. And I sort of took it for granted. I was just like, fine, you know, I just didn't think about
yeah.
it. And man, it must've been maybe 2 or 3 hours later only. And I was completely wiped out, exhausted, mm-hmm. had no mental, no ability to make decisions, no ability to entertain conversation or problem solve. And it was full on crash out yeah. that quick.
And I want to speak to that, Danny, because a lot of people listening who have been keto trained will be like, well, you just haven't switched over.
Yeah,
right.
You know, your body
right.
hasn't switched over to fat as fuel as your preferred source, blah, 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 blah. But I just want to speak to that. When you do switch over and your body may learn to switch over, it's a slower system. It's yeah. your metabolism is slower. And even the people on keto, it's harder for them to do those workouts,
yeah.
you know, burn it with fat and ketones as fuel.
Well, can I speak to this? Because I feel like, Danny, you're a burner.
Your ATP doesn't
you,
come
you need crossovers at every meal because you're a fast burner, okay?
Yeah.
You're a wiry guy. And so you need those carbs in the morning. That's why it almost, if you're listening right now, maybe it almost sounds to you like, oh my goodness, Serene and Pearl, you're changing your whole plan. I thought S meals were great. You know, S meals is where you don't have the carb and you have your fat and your protein and your veggies. What's up with you, Serene and Pearl? You mean I can never have an S breakfast again? No, of course you can. But I feel like intuitive eating is growing in knowledge and the knowledge comes and then you can play that intuition game. And I feel like the more Serene and I learn, the more we've realized carbs are really important for your metabolism at breakfast. They're really important for your brain power. And, you know, I've kind of been speaking this on the potty for 2, 3, 4 years now. We kind of switch over from S meals at breakfast to more E meals or crossovers. And it has made a huge difference to us. Now, I know some of you are going to be like, oh, but Pearl, I tried that, you know, and I do better with S in the morning. My blood sugar just prefers it. I feel weak and shaky after an E, like the opposite of what you felt, Denny.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I'm hungry an hour later if I have my E meal, you know. So, Serene, I'm talking about, Serene just got back from the bathroom. People
Welcome
that
back,
say,
Serene.
Hey, I feel great after an S in the morning. Don't take away my S's in the morning. You know, I do great. I'm not saying they have to, but I think you should slowly trial.
Well, everything feels weird, like when you change.
Yeah,
your body goes through a little shock at first.
Yeah,
you can do it gently,
but especially if you're stalled and you're having an egg breakfast every morning without a carb. Let's just say you're an omelet girl, or you know, you have eggs and a piece of sausage and a few non-starchy veggies, and let's just say you're in a stall. I would say forget about the intuition of craving that every morning because that's what you're used to. I used to have 2 eggs in the morning and some veggies and I craved it because it was what
yeah,
I
me
was
too.
Doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? Oh, sorry.
And all that to say you
thought
kind
you were
of crave
me to
it
speak.
Because that's what you're doing and you go to bed and you look forward to it. But I suggest trying to switch over at least half of your breakfast ease. And if your blood sugar can't handle them, do what a lot of the world does and have a bean-based e-breakfast. Because
Mexico, here we come.
Beans are so gentle
feet
on your blood sugar.
Sand, Mazatlan, do you not remember that? The coffee warming around our fingers, the sand was still a little bit cool, and the refried beans coming out. Oh, my God.
So, you know, you can blend some black beans up, put some spices in there and have them nestled.
I had an egg white omelet on the side.
Yes, nestled to an egg white omelet with veggies, or if you want to do a crossover, have real eggs there. That would be so good on your blood sugar. If it spikes, I'll be so surprised. If it does spike, shove some more fiber in your drink, maybe a little glucose in your coffee and whiz it up.
Yeah, but you know, there's also fibers too that you can buy on the internet that don't have any slime feel. I don't know if we should mention
acacia
that or not.
Acacia fiber or even a non-GMO and gluten-free a wheat dextrin. I know dextrin sounds like a sugar, but
it's the wheat dextrin, the non-GMO, it's not a sugar. It's just
very
a
good on your blood sugar. And if you take fiber, let's just say your blood glucose is spiking with any ease, taking some fiber along with that. And as your body gets used to it, don't start out with huge amounts of carbs, little by little. Your body is going to get used to it, right, Serene? Mm. And your blood sugar is going to actually start to come down. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Can I just say one thing? And then I feel like Danny needs to be...
I've been talking
like,
a lot.
Take the mic. I do feel like I'm begging to you to speak, Danny.
Really?
But I just want to say two things. First of all, and I might forget because...
First of all, and you've already forgot.
Yeah, okay, you've got two things, that's hard.
When I went pee-pee in the bathroom, I heard you say, people might think we're changing our plan.
Yeah.
I want to say this to that, and I don't know what you fully said because I was tinkle,
I want you to come in on that, please.
We know the science and we agree to it and we're not changing to it that if you want to lose weight, you need to separate your fuels for many of your meals because your body has to get to its adipose tissue, you know, and we agree and we will never change our mind that the body was designed to burn both fuels, fat and glucose. We're not going to change our mind on that. We're not going to go fat free. We're not going to go glucose free. These are like principles to our plan.
Foundations never shall be moved.
Yes. And we agree with the juggle and we agree with the change up and we agree, with the blood sugar balancing, these are the major principles. These are the skeleton of Trim Healthy Mama. We are just coming into some new knowledge, adding steps of understanding to the plan that, hey, ease are not a second class citizen, meaning your gentle carb meals are not a second class citizen. And, you know, we're learning some things that are going to come out in Pearl's book, Trim Healthy Wisdom, and then my book later on, Trim Healthy Grow, how exercise and proper fueling.
Yes.
Like we're not talking about sedentary sitting at an office desk all day, never exercising and then, you know, eating proper caloric load, but you know, making sure you're actually fueling your body efficiently, meaning very nourishingly can be, and especially with the carbohydrates, can be a game changer for losing weight as you age.
I think exercising is the forgotten food group.
Oh, yeah.
It really is, Dan. And, you know, so that's where Serena and I keep learning more, too. And, I mean, I think especially for the season I'm in, which I'm in full on.
Could you touch on Lighter Stronger real quick on the physical aspect? Just really quickly.
Actually,
and then Dan needs to speak because I feel him.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I feel his energy.
She feels intuitively, Dan, that you're about to bring it.
Boy, I hope I have something.
You know, okay, so Serene and I have been, you know, in a private group lately, recently that we've started just for women who want to go deeper, and we're not putting it out to the whole public yet. So it's really only by invite only. But if you do get an invite, that is from Serene and I, not from an Ethiopian sheik or something. Yeah.
You know what you're used to.
Not from spam.
Yeah.
The typical.
So, but I've had and I was talking about this in that group. I've had a real epitome. Is that the word?
Epiphany.
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 Lately.
Nope.
Because
Can you say it though?
Epiphany.
No.
No?
Epiph.
No, it's TH.
No, it's PH.
Epiphany.
Oh, Okay, yeah, PH, yeah. Well, it's not epiphany, it's epiph.
But she's very intelligent woman, this lady.
Still haven't said it, though.
Epiphany. Okay. With, it sounds like an F, right?
I just wanted to see if it was possible.
I think my whole life I thought it was epiphany.
Let the Memphis graduated hoodlum teach you. Please.
Yeah, we actually have if it's about on a sheet of paper, the words that neither of you pronounce correctly. I've never mentioned it.
You could just go, you know, right now and say face pearl and say, oh, that's just the way we do it down under.
Yeah, I know. That's what I say to my husband whenever he corrects me on a word. Honey, I grew up saying it like that. It's the Queen's English. Sorry.
It's the Queen, right?
You're American. What would you know?
It's actually an advanced way to pronounce the word. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, I had an epiphany that I'm just going back to it. But anyway.
It's the Queen's English.
Especially with postmenopause, those of us that get stuck, which happens to most menopausal woman, perimenopausal woman, and postmenopausal. I would say that it happens to at least 80%. Your metabolism kind of tanks and then you got to do something about it. I figured out what to do about
it. Or don't do anything about it and just get thicker.
Yeah, or get undone and your health does decline. But there's it's so reversible. But those of us that get there to that place where our metabolism slows down because of hormone loss and muscle loss, which I'll talk about it later, get into a trap of wanting to be lighter. So when I first figured out that I have this metabolic slowdown, it was kind of scary to me because even though I did Trim Healthy Mama, I was, you know, always eating SE and crossovers. I've been at goal weight pretty much my whole journey after I initially lost I think it was 15 pounds that I needed to when we first started this plan. I have been at goal weight ever since. And I ate my crossovers, my S and my E's, and I lived there fantastically, eating heavy S when I wanted, light S, carbs, you know, it was fantastic. Then I hit menopause, my hormones tanked, and S and E, even without crossovers, I literally gained weight.
Well, 1.5 pounds.
I didn't gain a lot because I was like really honing it in, adding veggies.
1.5 pounds.
No, Serene, the truth is I gained 8 pounds.
Okay.
And that doesn't look a lot on me because I'm tall, but it would have continued to go up because...
And you're not a natural weight gainer.
I'm not.
What I was
doing was no longer working for me. So I figured I had to change things. Because I was waking up and always doing like I had always done, eating my S breakfast most days.
You were waiting hours before you ate it too. You were trying to lengthen the time.
Yeah,
remember,
I wasn't into intermittent fasting, but I thought, well, a little bit of that. Maybe I'll just, you know, I won't do 16-8 because that could tank metabolism, but maybe I'll just go 13, 14 hours, you know. So all of that.
From the nighttime to the
morning. Yeah. And then I realized later on that when your hormones tank, your cortisol goes up, right? And then not eating a carb-rich breakfast makes it just spike even further. And so you don't burn your fuels when you eat them. But I came to knowledge about that.
So clarifying that, just to clarify that, because it's a good point. So when your hormones tank, your cortisol is king and queen, right?
Because guess why? I'll tell you why.
You tell us why.
Do you know that estrogen is one of your biggest stress-modifying hormones? People don't know that. They think that your adrenals do all the work. Your estrogen, when you're a woman, takes care of a huge part of your stress. Isn't it an amazing hormone, estrogen?
Oh, can I say, so there might be some stressful parts to people when they're pregnant, but I've noticed when I'm pregnant, and especially my daughter right now, who's 16 weeks pregnant. I've got another daughter too that's due in like five weeks, but especially the 16-week pregnant one, the house could be burning down.
Yeah.
And her estrogen is so high right now. I think when you're pregnant, it's 33,000 somewhere up there. And a peak woman in her prime is like 300.
Yep.
Right? It's just like, you know, there might be some emotional stuff to the hormones of pregnancy. But as far as placidness.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the house could be burning down. She'd slowly saunter out. The estrogen, I'm seeing it wash all over her.
So now where was I? Oh, okay. So yeah, we talked about, cortisol goes up because once estrogen tanks and falls, the only thing that you have to deal with that stress now is your adrenal glands. Mm-hmm. Estrogen's not there to help. So cortisol does the job of two jobs. It's heavy lifting now. So it goes up on its own, right? So it's already elevated. That puts you in a place where you can't burn fuels
as well.
And
cortisol puts redistributes, yeah. distributes the weight to your waist.
On your belly.
So what I'm trying to clarify with what she said, because it's a very amazing point. So you're in a season where cortisol is raining.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and maybe you try to take longer before you eat. Yeah. And that's a little stress to the body. Yep. So that's a cortisol rose. And then if you do not eat carbohydrates in the AM, that raises your cortisol again. So there's three things that you're just pushing your cortisol up, which is saying, please put weight on my belly. Please put weight on my belly.
Exactly. That's what it's saying. But so I was in this stage and I was tweaking, you know, I was trying to figure out my hormones are tanked. What can I do to get this accumulating? And they would have kept accumulating probably until I had figured it out. And, you know, it was kind of a place where so many of you listening have felt this, and you kind of like, I don't know what to do here. So I started tweaking things, and some of these things worked, right? I started eating more carb breakfast, and now that worked. And different other things. And I started weighing myself. I went from maybe once weighing myself every couple of weeks just to check where I was very peacefully about it, you know, not worried. I weighed myself every day. I just wanted to see what was happening. And I found myself in this little bit, not anorexia, but a little bit of an obsession with getting lighter. I wanted to beat the meno belly, you know, and I wanted to get lighter. And that was when my scale was down, I did lose those 8 pounds. When it was down, I felt like I had won.
And but I looked at you and I was thinking to myself, Pearl, you are getting frail.
Yep. That's what you told me. Yeah. And you got in my face and I didn't want to hear it. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, you might be lighter. I said, Serena, I beat the meno belly. You know, you said to me, Pearl, you might be lighter, but you were really honest. You're turning to one of those little old women that look like they could blow over with the wind. You're like really reed thin and it's just not as attractive. I needed to hear it and I didn't even want to hear it at the time. Then as I kept growing in wisdom and studying, I realized lighter is such a trap because lighter doesn't mean metabolically sound. It just means you've lost some excess fat. But along with that excess fat, you have definitely lost muscle.
Oh, yeah.
And for our metabolism, as we get older, and for our health and our strength, we absolutely have to keep our muscle around. And so I had a whole come to Jesus moment, and I have thrown the word lighter out. Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about on our group. And I said, girls, it's not about lighter. It is about stronger.
Yes.
It is about stronger metabolically, stronger in knowledge, stronger in wisdom, stronger spiritually, stronger
in muscles.
In muscles too. that's a part of it as we get to these core seasons.
Because you can get to the point where you weigh more, but you're burning way more and you beat the meno belly.
Yeah.
But you're stronger and you're not frail and you're not fragile.
But I'm
and you're
up
not
from those pounds, Serene. Remember, I got really light and you said, Pearl, whatever you're doing, stop.
Yeah.
I am up from that, but
it's not I'm up in fat.
I'm still lean
it's
and I can eat way more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I wanted to bring about this too. I don't know how we got here, but I wanted to talk to you all about not getting that lighter out of your mind and understanding it is stronger. If the lighter needs to happen, it will on its own. As you strengthen and bring back your muscle tone and as you feed your hormones what they need, and they do need carbs.
You can be heavier and be leaner and be stronger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what Dan Serene believes. You have something really good to say. No pressure.
I mean, it felt so conclusive just then. I how can we dance while the world is turning?
That was the deepness, Serene.
Yeah, no, but that was a good line.
I feel like we've really touched on the fact that be careful with the word intuitive.
Oh, intuition.
Yes.
Can I say something about intuition?
Yes.
When I was a drummer, I really approached drumming at first.
Yeah.
Very intuitively.
Okay.
I didn't practice.
Okay.
And I didn't do my rudiments.
And you were talented at the drumming, so you kind of thought you didn't
have
to
practice.
Yeah,
I had a natural talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very rhythmic already. And I mean, you guys know how great I dance.
Yeah.
One of the best, in fact. And so... Where was I?
So you did it. You were intuitive about your
drumming. So I was an intuitive drummer, and I really felt like you know, we had this thing in drumming called rudiments, and all the great drummers.
Oh, by the way, you need to put up whoever, if we have, if, do we still have a website for this party? You need to put up that dance that he did when we became like number one health podcast, and he was in his office.
Yeah, that was
that has to be put up after this party.
I ripped it.
You have to put that up after this
party. I remember that song too. So, you know, I really enjoyed the spontaneous, like, let me feel what this song needs, right?
Yeah.
And to me, I was really an artful, tasteful, you know, smooth drummer. To a lot of the musicians I played with, I was an immature, bad drummer. And so, reason is I didn't want to fool around with those boring rudiments on that practice pad.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know that I slowly learned was that when you have the rudiments down first, they provide a solid place for you to improvise off of.
Yes.
But if you don't have the rudiments first.
See how deep he goes.
Yeah, it's so true. It's a good analogy.
If you don't have the rudiments first, what you end up doing is you improvise from the beginning of the song to the end, thinking that you're being clever.
Yeah.
And what you're actually doing is being a song hog.
Yeah.
And you're ruining the song.
Do you look back and kind of cringe sometimes?
Oh, I cringe. I've watched videos back where I see bass players like looking at me like, dude, get it together. And in my, I'm just making the stank face the whole time. Like, look at me go. And it's the Danny Show.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not, but we're a band. It's not the Danny Show. Yeah. And I'm not good enough to be a solo drummer, you know? So I was just in a fantasy world is my point, because I didn't want to learn the rudiments. And so, you know, I was thinking of that. I remembered that as, you know, you talk about, you know, a lot of us want to be intuitive eaters. Well, how convenient.
No.
You know, you don't have to have any knowledge. You don't have to know anything about how food really affects your body. And so, but when you do that, of course, you end up sabotaging your health because, I mean, Christmas is coming. Don't tell me that you're going to start with intuition and really survive Christmas with your health goals.
Yeah,
you really
yeah.
better go into Christmas with some knowledge and some ideas about
what. I think knowledge leads to more wise intuition. I think this is where Heather's at. I think we've just done the safety game. Like the whole intuitive eating, you know, when Heather said, she would like to feel more intuitively. I think she's looking at saying it in a very wise way, but it's kind of set us off on, hold on.
Let's make sure she doesn't mean this.
Let's hold on. I don't think she does, but it's so true. You know, the trendy intuitive eating right now is taken up by most people who don't have the right knowledge to be able to use it wisely.
Mm-hmm. And I think intuitive in the after the knowledge is to a place where it's taken me all these years as one of the authors of Trim Healthy Mama to find after knowledge the healthy intuitive way approach, because I have tried to eat like we have taught for people who are needing to lose the weight.
Yes.
And that wasn't smart for me.
No.
And so finally, after Pearl got in my face, starting to be intuitive to my body's needs and my genes,
meaning,
and my healthy gut bugs and my ability to burn incredible amounts of fat and carbs in one meal.
Can I just specify what you meant?
Yeah.
You know, we help people lose weight, but you were saying you were eating S and E mostly instead of crossovers. And you'd always
I ate three crossovers a week probably.
Yeah. And it wasn't for you, Serene.
No, it wasn't for me. In fact, Pearl got in your face and said, you're going to eat 100% crossovers because you're an athlete. Like you train like an athlete. You lift weights, you sprint hills, you're doing this and you're eating S and E and you have the natural genes. You're tall and lanky and you naturally
burn. And
your
gut bugs burn fuel.
And
know that now because of your
test. And you're eating like somebody who has an office job all day whose metabolism is slowing down. So so finally, with the wisdom of friends and accountability, I'm going to be eating intuitively.
Yeah, in the best sense.
Which so now instead of oats and lean almond milk, you know, and fat-free protein powder added to, what I have on my oatmeal now is I have oats, you know, half a cup of the sprouted oats, and then I have some tablespoon of goji berries. I have a teaspoon of raw honey. I have blueberries in there. I have a good amount of walnuts and cacao nibs and full fat fermented goat's milk kefir all over top.
It's a jolly, it's really good crossover. What your body
and
needs.
And I've never felt so nourished
And
I think that's what Heather's saying. Many hours. She might be where you are because she's like, you know, how can I tell if my body is needing more fats, carbs, crossovers, more rest? It almost sounds like Heather is someone who is more like you, Serene.
I would go on holidays and try and stick to S&E.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. Like there wasn't even intuitive to my yes, body's needs for
too
rest.
Too bad you didn't listen to me earlier.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Okay. And then give and take though, give and take, right?
Yes,
you
yes.
muscle girl now.
Yeah, that's why we need one another. That's why we have to be accountable because sometimes our own intuition is so wrong. I think that that's why there's a lot of divorce. Now, sometimes divorce is necessary, right? But when we rely on our own intuition.
Well, you know, we've got a sweet Jeremiah here. He's like, what? Divorce? I mean, sometimes people are abused in
yeah.
situations.
Sometimes if you have just a really rotten person, you yeah. don't stay
and
with a rotten
children
person.
And like, one of the spouses need to be put in the safe place.
If there's
place.
A refusal to make breakfast like 3 days in a row.
Yeah, so that aside, I always preface that because, you know, I know we have women that had to escape dangerous situations. Aside from that.
And men sometimes.
Yes, men sometimes. If we rely on our own intuition in marriage, hey, Dan, if you'd relied on your own intuition and just like totally went with what you were feeling needed to happen, would you be married 20 years?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, like, yeah, young husband Danny, man, I was just like, it was sort of like a, what do they call like when there's a king? Is it a monarchy?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like that. It was like that. I mean, not, and it wasn't a mean version. It was a nice monarchy, but I was a good king. But she needs to enthrone you as king. You don't enthrone
right.
yourself
that's
as king.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's really yeah. good. But yeah, so all of that, you know, Serena and I and our marriages, Serena, I love it. You know, sometimes I'll say to you, and Charlie did this, and what do you think?
Yeah.
And I'm really kind of hurt, right?
Yeah.
And if it was a real hurtful thing, maybe you would say, yeah, that is kind of hurtful. But mostly, Serene, you have said to me in my marriage, Pearl, I really don't, you took it wrong. You know what he's like. His heart is so full of love for you. I think you took that wrong. He didn't mean it like that.
Well, it's just that I just think he just chose the wrong words, but they're yes. not representing his heart.
No.
Right? Because
exactly.
you know the man. Just
yes.
remember who he is. Don't
right.
think about the words. And I think, and not trying to be sexist here, but I don't think men always know the right words to choose.
Yeah. I would say never.
Because if I just yeah. went yeah. with the knowledge of my husband's yeah. heart, who has proved so...
yeah.
so like a rock my whole yeah. entire married life, faithful and full of integrity. If I would just go with like, okay, that's right, I know his heart. But if I go with his choice of words, oh, I could just be like,
yeah.
that's so true. So
off with your head.
So yeah. I have needed you. I could have made it without, because I can get counsel from God, who's our greatest counselor, or others. But I thinking having this accountability in our life with some people who won't just be our friend to be honest, I like, yeah, that was really mean. I'm your best friend. I'm going to stick up for you. But sometimes it's that wisdom of a true friend, right? Didn't the Bible talk about that?
Well, where is God? He's not out in space trying to yeah. talk to you. He's in
no,
there.
No, he's right there. He's in Serene, or he's yeah. in you. Yeah. He's in this party coming yeah. to you with us being your friends mm-hmm. too. And we try to bring any words of wisdom we have. So yeah, I mean, I'm so glad for those words of wisdom from somebody else that can come into my life and bring me back to say, not all your intuition is correct, Pearlie.
Mm-hmm.
Just not. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Now, I do want to say about exercise, I never have the intuition to exercise, never have in my life, but I yeah. love what it brings.
Mm-hmm. But you're starting to get the intuition after the knowledge, bro.
No, I just love what it brings.
But don't you feel like you've got intuition now with it?
No.
Oh.
I never have intuition to do push-ups.
No, really? Never do. I think you do, Serene. Some people are natural. Like my daughter, Autumn, she's like, I can't wait to get up to the workout room. I can't
she's
wait.
She's single.
I feel it in my insides. Nah. I've just got to go work out. Not once do I feel like that or have felt like that.
To me, it's my spa moment. I know it's going to be tough. And when I'm in the 8 reps of a 15 squat, you know, with a barbell on my back, I'm not feeling the spa moment. But overall, it's spa moment.
No, it's not spa for me, but... wow, I love what it has done for me. Just, you know, replenishing my muscle that I lost over the years and with hormone loss.
But tell them this type of exercise you're branching into, because it's important for menopause.
Yes. Well, we'll be talking a lot more about this in my book and your book and things like that. And, you know, as we get knowledge, we share it. But, you know, so we created the work-ins, Serene did, and so many of you have done them. And it's just, I feel like they're just powerful.
Say we.
You created them, Serene. We. I performed them with you for the video. That's all it was.
We.
And, you know, for getting your core stabilized, for healing it, for learning to secure.
And all the way up to Thrill Fit, it gives you a very strong foundation.
It really does. It's so good
and
for
an introduction
incontinence, bladder incontinence. And it is really good for muscle tone, honestly.
And an introduction to weights. I mean,
but I did it for years and I never ever went more than just like kind of gentle, steady fit. I never ever did kettlebells with it because I thought I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I always remain with very light weights because I thought, well, that's Pearl. I'll leave the heavy weights to Serene.
Yeah.
Until I got to the more knowledge thing where I understood if you want to get your muscle back and raise your metabolism, Pearl, you have to lift heavier. I mean, science told me that.
And tell them how it's not just the depletion of hormones at menopause that makes your metabolism tanked. It's that your muscle starts declining.
It's 80% of your muscle declining, but that tanks your...
Because you can't even... Your insulin is not used properly.
Yeah. So that's why men lose more than women. They have more muscle. And so more muscle takes in
lose
more fuel.
Lose fat more than women, yeah.
So I then started to think, okay, well, I'll do my work-ins and now I'm going to do some kettlebells with them. And I began to get stronger. And then I realized I can do more here. So I graduated. I still do about one work in a week. But I graduated to just lifting heavier about 3 times a week with much heavier weights and really working to restore the muscle for my body more than I've probably ever had. And I don't look big. I'm still very lean.
Well, women don't really get big unless you've got a particular genetic, you know,
and then you don't maybe have to lift as heavy, or you maybe lift twice a week or something like that. But I'm so glad I did the work-ins first because that stabilized me. That taught me how to do things.
But oftentimes you look up, you know, woman who trains strength training women, like Woman Gone Strong and all those sites. They're not big women.
No, they're not. But, you know, so all of that to say that is the way I train at the moment. I'm still a baby beginner and, you know, I pretty much suck at it still. I make mistakes, but I think it's great to be brave enough to suck at something and be new and be a newbie.
Well, we're starting our 82-year-old mother on it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's been huge, huge for me. But, you know, intuition tells me, no, don't go up there and do it. Don't stay down here and drink your coffee and peacefully, Pearl. but I don't listen to that because knowledge is much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of maybe done with that. But Heather, rest is so important too.
Yeah. Oh.
So Serene, you're the person that would want to work out 6 days a week. That would be your intuition, right?
Well, then your metabolism tanks with that too because your leptin plummets when you push your body more than you're allowing it to rest and that you're allowing it to be refueled. Yeah. So it's this beautiful balance.
And I do think there is like knowledge, right? Okay, I'm going to strength train 3 to 4 days a week. My other days might be just walking and just, you know, because walking's great for your cortisol.
Oh, I do days of walking and just days of
so now
light
that's
things.
Just sound knowledge for a woman's hormone profile, right? Overtraining is horrific for
but
a
even
woman's
for
hormone
men.
Profile.
Men who train every day of the week, strength training, They you know, their sex hormones tank.
Yeah, they do.
And they usually find, you know, that their metabolism slows down too.
Do.
The rest is where you build it all
up. Okay, so that's the knowledge. That's the knowledge where Serene and I are at right now. 3 to 4 days, really good strength training. The rest, don't be inactive. Walk, but just enjoy your life and rest up on those days. That's the knowledge. Here's the intuition. If you have a really late night and you didn't sleep or the baby was up or, you know, hey, you have a cold or you're under a lot of stress and pressure, you don't have to train that day just because it's on your to-do list.
Well, I had it felt like a cold coming on. I even got this little cold sore on the corner of my mouth. Like, you know, that's when I know I'm getting under the weather. A lot was going on in my house. I'm like, well, it's Wednesday. It's lower body heavy lifting. I went and did it.
Yeah.
And then I totally crashed. Instead of fighting off that cold, I got it. My cold sore grew huge like a plum on the side of my mouth, pounding with a heartbeat. You know?
Yeah.
I knew that I wouldn't have gotten that though.
So that's where that beautiful intuition comes in that Heather's talking about, that is more on a higher level, wisdom after the knowledge.
That's right.
Oh, that's kind of good. You start with knowledge, you end with wisdom.
That's right. Ooh, start with knowledge, end with intuition.
Yeah.
We should end right now.
We should. Dream of the moment.